Mind your own business. It's got nothing to do with you, what I do. If we see a fellow Christian doing something that is clearly wrong, we should do something about it. But what about those things that are not so clear? Those grey areas which the Bible doesn't clearly identify as sinful or not sinful for all people in all places at all times. A grey area could be any matter that is not clearly commanded, prohibited, or permitted in the Bible. So, think about these situations. Is it okay for a Christian to join in with the sweepstake at work as to who is going to win the World Cup? Is it okay for a Christian to go into a betting shop and have a flutter on the Grand National? Is it okay for a Christian to buy a lottery ticket? Is it okay for a Christian to invest in the stock market? Is it okay to buy a raffle ticket at the church fete? Is it okay for a Christian to swear, to attend a Halloween party, to skip church, to go to a sporting event, to buy an unnecessary luxury item, to go shopping on a Sunday, to work as a cleaner at the Jehovah Witness headquarters in Stock? Is it okay to prepare an advertising campaign for the Jehovah Witnesses? It is said about the preacher, Charles Spurgeon, that one day he got onto a bus and found some young men from his church contentedly smoking their pipes. "Young men," he said frowningly, "aren't you ashamed to be seen smoking this way?" Sheepishly they put their pipes away, whereupon Spurgeon took his pipe out of his pocket, lit it up and said, "I am not ashamed." Not all the things we puzzle over have a clear-cut, black and white, right or wrong answer. God has left various things for us to think about for ourselves. When we look at Romans 14, and try and understand how it applies to us. Paul gives a very clear statement of principle regarding what he calls disputable matters, those grey areas. As he writes in verse 5, each of them should be fully convinced in their own mind, or, as it might be put, to keep your conscience clear. Paul is discussing various issues where the early Christians were tempted to fall out with one another. Keeping the Sabbath, meat eating, drinking alcohol, accepting hospitality from a non-Christian friend who might have bought the lamb steaks from a butcher who then got them from the local pagan temple. Verse 1, accept the one whose faith is weak without quarreling over disputable matters. What does Paul mean by someone who is weak in faith? Or whose faith is weak? Is this a new Christian who is immature, who has not yet fully grasped the teaching of the Bible? The key thing about acceptance is that we remember that we are all brothers and sisters in Christ. We did not make us all part of the family. The Lord did. And we are not to accept them with the idea of immediately straightening them out in the areas in which we think they're weak. We all belong to one another. Some commentators would argue that Paul is not writing about the strength or weakness of an individual's faith. Rather, he is writing about someone who is weak in the faith. The problem is that the person does not understand the truth. The person does not understand the freedom we have in Christ. And clearly there were tensions in the Christian church in Rome. Verse 2, one person's faith allows them to eat anything, but another, whose faith is weak, eats only vegetables. And this arises out of the background of the early church, in which there was a real moral question about eating meat. Not only were there the Jewish restrictions about certain forms of meat, Jews didn't eat pork, and even beef and lamb had to be kosher. They had to be slain in a certain way. So a Jew, or even one raised as a Jew, after he became a Christian, always had great emotional difficulty in eating meat. Then there was the problem about the matter of eating meat that had been offered to idols. At that time, the majority of meat sold in the public markets came from animals sacrificed at pagan temples. Some Christians said that if you did eat that meat, it was tantamount to worshipping the idol. You were no different than the people who worshipped and believed in the idol. Other Christians said, no, how can that be? Meat is meat. The fact that someone else thinks it as being offered to idols does not mean that I have to. And then in verse 5, there's another cause of disagreement. One person considers one day more sacred than another. Another considers every day alike. Some felt that they had to observe certain days as holy. As in every area of this type, there were two viewpoints. There was a liberal, broad viewpoint that said it was perfectly all right to do it, and a stricter, narrower viewpoint that said it was wrong to do it. In verse 3, Paul writes, "The one who eats everything must not treat with contempt the one who does not, and the one who does not eat everything must not judge the one who does, for God has accepted them." Paul is making the point that we are not accepted by God because of do's and don'ts. We are accepted in Christ. As one writer puts it, he does not mean the person who trusts Christ but little, the man of feeble faith. Rather, the person he has in mind is the one who does not understand the conduct implied by faith. He does not understand that when the meaning of justification by faith is grasped, questions like the use of meat and wine and special days become irrelevant. Here, the weak Christian is one who still holds on to a legalistic attitude. They have not worked out the implication of the gospel. If you are saved by grace alone, there is no need to feel you can or must keep God's favour through rules or regulations. So by implication, a strong Christian is someone who knows that they are saved by the gospel and therefore understands that there are areas in which they are free to choose. But the point is that there is no right or wrong in these situations. We must think and pray about what is the best thing for us to do. But we should not look down our noses or impose our decision on others who take a different view. Verse 6. Whoever regards one day as special does so to the Lord. Whoever eats meat does so to the Lord, for they give thanks to God. And whoever abstains does so to the Lord and give thanks to God. Many people see Christianity as a do not do religion. Don't do this, don't do that. They see Christianity as a set of rules to be obeyed, and any freedom is denied. That would be the case if the standards and rules of the church have nothing to do with the Bible. As a church, we need to be clear about which things are not negotiable, because the Bible is clear on the matter, and which are left to the individual's moral choice. And we must not judge others who take a different view of any of these disputable matters. Verse 4, who are you to judge someone else's servant? To their own master servants stand or fall, and they will stand, for the Lord is able to make them stand. We are not to judge each other, as we are not responsible for one another's conduct in these grey areas. Each of us has to make a decision before God, and therefore others have no authority to force us to change. It may be that our view will change because of the teaching we hear and helpful advice given. As we are exposed to the truth, we will change. But it is the Lord that will change us. One translation of the Bible paraphrases verse 4 as, after all, who are you to criticize the servant of somebody else, especially when that somebody else is God? It is to his own master that he gives or fails to give satisfactory service. And don't doubt that satisfaction, for God is well able to transform men into servants who are satisfactory. Verse 7, for none of us lives for ourselves alone, and none of us dies for ourselves alone. If we live, we live for the Lord, and if we die, we die for the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. God can read our hearts. If we genuinely believe that our actions to engage in an activity or not to engage are not displeasing to God, then we're being real, and that if we're being real before God and true to him, and that there is nothing in the Bible that clearly commands us otherwise, we should feel able to hold that honest conviction. God can see both viewpoints as honouring him. Someone who thinks that Sunday is a special day that ought to be kept different from all other days is honouring God. But someone else can say, we are in Christ. Days do not mean anything. They are not set aside for any special purpose. Therefore, I feel every day is alike, and I want to honour the Lord every day. We should not be too harsh with one another in these disputable matters. If you go online, you can find questions that we can ask ourselves whenever we're not sure about whether a particular action is sinful. Is the Holy Spirit convicting me that this is wrong? Is this action causing a brother or sister to stumble? Is this action harmful rather than beneficial to my faith? Is this action mastering or controlling me? Is this action causing me to be disobedient to someone whom God has put in authority over me? Am I judging others who don't agree with me in this grey area? We may feel that having a tattoo is a good thing. After all, God is concerned with the heart and not with outward adornment. But should we get a tattoo if our parents have told us not to? We may feel that drinking alcohol is not a problem, but would we drink alcohol at a meal where a recovering alcoholic is present? Is there a danger that my love for money means I no longer have control over my actions? We're all struggling. We are all in the process of becoming more holy. We are all subject to change. We're all trying to understand the truth more clearly as we go on, and we are all being freed by it. But in the process, the only one who has a right to do anything about it is the Lord. As one writer puts it, so let's not criticize, condemn or look down on someone else because they see things differently from us. Provided they have reached their opinion thoughtfully and prayerfully, it is, if I may put it bluntly, none of your business. Amen. Father, we live in a complicated world where new temptations, new technology, new opinions become mainstream, become acceptable. And Lord, we pray that your Holy Spirit will indeed help us to navigate these grey areas where it's not always clear. Help us to turn to you, to turn to your word, to turn to our friends, and just be sure that the things that we do are being true to you, and that we're not doing anything that displeases you. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.